It was one of the most mysterious events in my life and something that really strengthened my faith to the highest degree.
Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life. Those sick and tired of this poisonous world, whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is Monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Dear listeners, brothers and sisters all over the world, I'm addressing you from my monastery of St. Basil of Ostrog, where I live. It is beginning of December. We are getting close to the end of this year, and we should always make saldo, make a count. What have we done in the previous year? How strong did we fight with our passions, and how eagerly we were walking towards the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Creator of the universe. And very often we can come to conclusion that we were not eager enough, that we were not fervent enough, and that it could be much better. Nevertheless, we should struggle. We should go forward. But it is not always very easy. If we make an account, how did we fight in previous year, we should make this account every day, in the evening, when the day comes to its end, we should withdraw deep in ourselves and think over there and reflect, contemplate slowly but honestly with ourselves. Did we follow the steps from the Lord, who through His teachings in Gospel told us how should we live and react on every proposal that comes to us from this world? We should make this saldo and say, today we were real soldiers of Christ. We were fighting for our salvation. We were fighting our passions, and we struggled to acquire love, since love is the most important and supreme merit, something which without it is impossible to live this life with a real dignity, human dignity, spiritual dignity, divine dignity. But it is so hard to acquire and to keep love in all our actions and in all our relations with our fellow man that we are getting in touch every day. And sometimes it's not that hard to be nice, to act with love, to withdraw from every vice and evil deeds, to pray, to be in prayer every day. to fast, to take everything exactly how much do we need and not how much do we want. Because the need is something that is real, and desire is always something that goes much more over what is actually our natural need. Did we really resist all the temptations that came to us during this day? And did we restrain from taking everything? So did we restrain from superfluous of everything? So sometimes we really see that some other power helps us to accomplish all these feats much easier than it is in comparison to some other days. And sometimes we see how hard every enterprise, every spiritual feat, every spiritual struggle is to us. And only then we can recognize the supreme power of the grace of God. So when it comes, everything is much easier. Sometimes it seems to us that we are flying, that we do not touch the ground. Everything is light, everything is easy, everything is beautiful. We love everybody. And in those moments we think that's so natural, so normal. And we are not aware that this is not ours, that it came from above. And only when it goes away, we can recognize that it was something that didn't belong to us, something that came to us from outside, from elsewhere. And then we think over what it was. How did I feel so beautiful? And now I feel so empty and ordinary. And if we are serious enough, and if we try to study with very serious discipline all these changes in our lives, we can come to the conclusion that it really comes to us from some supreme power. And there is no some supreme power. It comes from the Lord. It comes from God, God the Father, the creator of this universe. And moreover, He awaits us. He wants to give this to us, but not by force. He is respecting our free will. And if we are as beggars, do not show our open hand towards Him, He is not going to give us a spiritual coin in our hand. Otherwise, if He would save us by force, without our consent, we would be similar or even more. We would be the same as animals who act by instinct. We do not act by instinct. Conscientious is given to us. But unfortunately, very often, we don't listen to our conscientious and we wither it, and we do not let it grow and become strong and become the leader of our lives, our conscientious. But we give this power to our consciousness, to our ratio, to our brain, which is always in connection with our passions. And passion is irrational category, which always acts by its own laws. And this law is always against us. So that's why if we struggle strong enough on the spiritual battlefield, we can recognize laws and system, how does it work, and then we can acquire to us the spiritual gifts which are essential for our prosperity in this life. And sometimes it is so hard to do anything spiritual, to fight with ourselves. Sometimes we are so heavy, sometimes we are so lazy, and in those moments we see that this is not good, that we should stand up and give the blow back, hit the enemy with a spiritual fist. But we are so heavy, we are so lazy, we are so weak, and we are sitting or even laying in bed all day, or just acting as a mechanism, like some kind of robot, finishing our duties, but without any compassion or love for our fellow man. And in those moments, if we are honest to us, honest enough, we should hate ourselves. We should say, I'm not really acting as a human, but as a something lower than that. Very often as an animal. And sometimes we are acting even as a demon. Because we can be divine, we can be angels, we can be humans. We can be peaceful animals, we can be aggressive animals, and unfortunately we can be demons. But thank God, to us Christians, the Son of the Lord is merciful. He's merciful to everybody, but to ourselves. He gave us the power to overcome our weaknesses. Sometimes it is good for us to fall down, to see that we are not so powerful that we often think of us that we are. These periods of weakness and laziness and heaviness is important and is good for us, because we as humans are very often apt to think high of ourselves, to think that we are perfect, that we can do anything, especially when we are young and healthy. And then out of this pride, out of this conceit, our heart is getting hard and dry and closed. And this beautiful energy called divine grace, even if it wants to come in us, it can't, because our heart is tight closed, because we think high of ourselves. So that's why when we approach and enter these periods of heaviness, only then we see how small and weak we are. And this humility is extremely important for us. And we should never condemn the day when we were born, or this life, or even God, who gave us these hardships of life. But we should grant and say, these are just medicines, bitter pills for our pride and conceit. But unfortunately, in this world, to be proud is something good. I remember, it was a long time ago, 20 years ago, when I used to live in the United States, you could see everywhere, even on post parcels, it would say, be proud, be American. So stupid, I must say. Not stupid to be American, but stupid to be proud about it. Why should one American be more proud of his nationality in comparison to some other? For example, some African, some Asian, or some Chinese, or some Serbian, or some Montenegrin here in our lands, especially in Montenegro. Of course, they are Serbs, but just their location is Montenegro. So they say, I'm so proud to be Montenegrin. I don't know what is to be proud about it. What is there to be proud about it? We should be proud only if we do something good, if we follow the steps of the Creator of the universe and His teachings. When we do good to our fellow men, when we restrain from drinking, smoking, eating superfluously, more than we need, and even then, we shouldn't be really proud, because to be proud is not good. We should be humble. We should love the Lord, the fellow man, and ourselves, but in right spiritual manner. To love our soul, to love it as something that is immortal, and not to love our bodies, that is to say, passions of our bodies. So it is good for us when we enter these periods of weakness, because only then we see it's so ridiculous to be proud of ourselves, because we see we are only a vessels which should be filled with something, and this something we do not possess. That something comes from above. Although when we do not have this something that comes from above, we fill our vessels with all other things that we find in this world, and very often it is something absolutely harmful to us, such as drugs, all kinds of narcotics, alcohol, gambling, and many, many other things that we think that it satisfies us. It gives us this content that we need. But unfortunately, the real fulfillment is only from divine grace. And only when we face this deficit of divine grace in such a hard moments of heaviness and weakness, only then we are entering this precious state of humility, not thinking highly about ourselves. And only in these moments, and besides that, when we utter a prayer, then, only then, we realize the most beautiful way how this mysterious power is coming and filling us. So one of those periods when I felt my ultimate weakness and nothingness was that period when I was extremely sick and feeling very, very bad. It was 1995, a year after my monastic tonsure. I got sick in the monastery of Visoki Dečani, and after about 5 or 6 days spending in a terrible state of my health in the monastery, I went to hospital in Pristina, town of Pristina, the main city of Kosovo. And there they performed examinations of my blood and everything else, but they still couldn't tell me what is wrong with me. And if I remember well, it was, I think, 7th or 8th day of my stay in the hospital. My illness reached its peak, especially the pain in the region of kidneys was killing me. It was extremely strong. My eyesight was also damaged. I saw everything through some kind of haze, and it was bluish haze, and I thought, I'm losing my eyes, I'm not going to be able to see and to paint anymore. And besides that, there was a general weakness, so strong that I thought, well, that's it. I'm 34 years old and I'm dying. And I do not know what is the reason for this, in terms of what kind of illness did I receive that I'm dying of. I think it was early afternoon, around 1 o'clock p.m. And I think I was in some kind of a coma. I was not conscious, definitely, but I was aware of myself. But I was laying down in bed with my eyes closed. It was something between sleep and coma. But I was aware of myself. I was aware that I'm still alive and that I am present in some kind of special realm of very low light. It was kind of dark, and all of a sudden I felt myself like I am sitting somewhere. So I was sitting, I was not laying down anymore, but it was just pretending to me. It seemed to me that I'm sitting somewhere in some dark room, but I couldn't see the walls. It was very strange. It is hard to explain. And my whole body and my whole being was filled up with pain and slow leaking out of life. The interesting thing is that, as I said before, I was not afraid, because in those days, those beginning days of my spiritual and monastic life, I was so filled with the grace of God, and I felt its presence in me all the time. And even in these moments when I was almost sure that I'm definitely dying, that I'm not going to be able to go through this, I was not afraid, because I was sure this grace that is filling me, it is the master of immortality, and it possesses the immortality, and it wants to give it to me, this power, this supreme living being. I was sure that I was in contact with the creator of the universe, non-stop. And out of this realization, I was not afraid, because I thought, and I was sure, if I die, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to vanish. I will just change the world. I will just change and go to the other better life, because it was so strong and tangible in myself. But still, I was suffering, because my body was suffering. And in one extremely mysterious and strange moment, somewhere from far away, I noticed that some kind of light sphere is approaching to me, is coming towards me. And all of a sudden, this light sphere stopped. Let's say, in front of me, it was definitely, I couldn't measure, because in this reality, all the measurements were different than this real life. But this was, if I can say, even more real than this life. I saw this, although my eyes were closed and I was in some kind of coma. But I noticed, I have realized, I have seen this light in front of me, let's say a meter in front of me. It was coming from far away and finally it stopped. Let's say maybe it was 1 meter or between 1 meter and a meter and a half from me on the height of my chest. And it stood there in great amazement. I was looking at this sphere with this, and it was giving out of it a very subtle and gentle light. And as I was watching this light sphere, and as I was receiving this light from it, although this light was not burning around, lightning around, it was gentle. To my great wondering, I started to feel a little bit better. And in few moments more, I was sure that this light that I'm exposed to is actually healing me, and that every next moment that I'm feeling better and better. And after a few moments more, I have realized that this light sphere is not something mechanical or something, some kind of natural phenomena. I felt, but I couldn't explain how, that this is something alive, that this light sphere is actually a live being, something that communicates with me. But there were no words or thoughts or anything of this kind of communication. It was just communication with feelings, with two living beings. I was one being and it was another one. And only its presence gave me the feeling that we are in communication, and that this living being loves me and it wants to help me. And it is there to help me and to heal me. And although it didn't have eyes or arms or head or any kind of body that I could notice, that I could recognize as a living being, as a human being. Even besides that, I felt this light sphere even more living being than in comparison to some human being, that in case that it was in front of me. It is hard to explain. And then this sphere was there for, I don't know, I cannot explain for how long. Maybe in those moments, in this kind of strange realm didn't belong to this world. To me, it seemed that it was like for about 15 minutes. And during this period, I was feeling better and better. And I was wondering, what is this going on with me? And what is this light sphere in front of me? But it was communicating with me. It was communicating without words, without thoughts, without ideas, only with love. In those moments, the only communication, and it was the supreme communication that I ever had, it was the communication of love. From this light sphere, the light was coming out and getting, the love was getting out and getting in me. And this love was healing me. And I felt this strongly in myself. And after about 15 minutes, it slowly diminished and went away. And very soon, I came to myself. And then I opened my eyes and I realized I am laying in my bed, in my hospital room, in town of Pristina. And to my great surprise, to my supreme surprise, there was not any pain in my body anymore. And this terrible weakness and all those sensations that were telling me that I'm dying were not there anymore. I was just feeling tired and sleepy, nothing else. But I couldn't believe it in those first moments that I'm really healed. I thought all those things are most likely, or maybe they are just agony before dying. But it didn't change. For 15 minutes, for half an hour, for an hour, I was laying down and I felt I'm not ill anymore. And then I gathered enough courage to wake up, to get up. And I realized, oh my God, I'm really healed. I'm feeling good. I'm not in coma. There is no pain in kidneys. There is not that terrible weakness. And I'm really feeling good. And to me, it was something that really astonished me. It was maybe one of the greatest astonishments in my life. What was that? But I didn't have to ask myself too much. Deep in my heart, I was sure this light sphere was actually some kind of very beautiful and symbolic representation of the Lord by itself, of the God Father by Himself. So it was one of the most mysterious events in my life, and something that really strengthened my faith to the highest degree. Thanks, O Lord, for your beautiful deeds that you perform, that you performed, and that you will perform in my life.
Δόξα Πατρί Θεό και Αγίω Πνεύματι και την Θεά είτε εις τους αιώνας των αιώνων. Αμήν.
Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life.
So later on, during the day, there was a time for my medicine infusion. So when the nurse came with the whole system, with a bottle and needle, so when she saw me out of bed, she was surprised. She says, "Father, you're not in bed anymore. How do you feel?" I said, "I'm feeling much better." So she was surprised and she said, "Oh, that's beautiful, but it is strange. Maybe you should go back to bed. Maybe it's just some kind of temporary improvement. Maybe you can faint and fall down." I said, no, I'm really feeling good. But she couldn't believe me because she knew, and most likely out of my room, they would consult each other, doctors and nurses, and they would say that it is not going to be good with me. So she gave me an infusion, but still, I was getting better and better. This day, in the afternoon, and during the night, I slept like I didn't sleep for maybe 15 days since I got sick. So the next day, during the morning visitations of doctors, my doctor, with the company of few others, they came, and because the nurse told them that I'm feeling much better, they were also surprised, and they were asking me what happened and how do I feel. And they really realized that I look and I feel much better. And they said, "Oh, that's very good, but we should be very cautious and continue with medicines and everything else. And then we will see how the things go." So the next day I definitely realized, and I was definitely sure, that something beautiful and mysterious happened to me and that I'm healed. Although the blood test and the urine test was not good yet, of course, because it happened that something was wrong with my kidneys and that my urine is full of urea, and all those products that fill the urine and the blood, if the kidneys are not in good condition. So they all thought that something is wrong with my kidneys, which actually was the case, but not directly with kidneys. My kidneys were healthy, but something else affected my kidneys, so they were not sure what was that. So next few days, I was feeling better and better, so I came to idea that maybe I should definitely leave the hospital. So when I mentioned this to my doctor, he was extremely surprised with me, and he said, "No way." He was very decisive. "You're very sick, mister. You should stay in our hospital until your blood and urine tests will be completely clean. Otherwise, we are not going to let you go, since it is our great responsibility. If something happens to you, we are going to be guilty." I said, "Okay, I understand." And since I'm a medical doctor, as a matter of fact, a dentist, I knew what is a blood test and urine test, so I was examining my patient list that was put on my bed, and I was following the decrease of urea in my blood, and I have realized that it is improving strongly every day. And so after about 5 days after this mysterious healing of mine, I made a decision. I'm going to leave the hospital. I cannot stay here anymore. I'm here more than 15 days now, almost. So, but on the other hand, I have heard from the staff of the hospital and from other patients that there was an epidemic of some strange disease that doctors didn't know what kind of disease is that. And that many patients around me in this sector of the hospital for infective diseases, in last 20 days there was several dead people, patients that died out of this disease. And even I have heard from other rooms crying. A few times I have heard an Albanians who were there coming to visit their relatives, and they were crying, "Ah, none, none, ah, none, none," which means, "Oh, mama, mama, my mama, my mother, oh, mom, oh, mom." And I was aware that something bad is going on, something sad, that maybe somebody is dying. And only after 2 months I have realized what it was. But I was stubborn, and I said to myself, "I'm healed, and the condition of my organism is getting better every day. So there is no need, and there is no reason for me to stay in the hospital anymore.
because I must admit it was very hard to me. I wanted to go back to the monastery. I wanted to be present in the church services, to be in my cell and to pray. And it was so hard for me to perform this in the hospital. And so the fifth day after my healing, I had prepared myself and I have called, there was a friend of mine, an acquaintance of mine in the town of Pristina. He was a medical student and he was very pious, a nice young man, and he was often coming to visit me. And after a few years, he became a novice in our monastery and a monk called Monk Father Damasin, extremely nice person. And I have called him and I said, his name at that time as a lay person was Dejan. I said, Brother Dejan, I intend to go. I intend to leave. Please, can you come and go with me, help me? Because first I wanted to go to the a female monastery, Gračanica, in the village of Gračanica, next to the town of Pristina. So he came and I told to my doctor that I have made a decision, a strong decision, that I'm leaving. And he was so mad. As a matter of fact, he was enraged. He said, what do you mean? You have to listen to me. You're not a free person here. We are taking care of you. You cannot go. I said, Mr. Doctor, I'm sorry, but we do not understand each other. I'm leaving. I'm a monk. I have to go back to my monastery. And I'm doing this on my own responsibility. You're not responsible of me anymore. And he said, if that's the case, okay, then you go. But he was very angry. This medical conceit came up and I have seen how offended he was. And he said, all right, good, you can go. But if you get bad, and I'm sure you're going to get bad again if you leave, do not come back to me. I'm not going to take care of you anymore. I said, well, if you say so. So finally I left. Sure, in one hand, he was maybe right, because I was not ready yet to leave the hospital, because I was feeling sick and I was walking as somebody who is still sick, although I was recovering. But on the other hand, my craving for the monastery and continuation of my monastic and spiritual life was stronger, and I was stubborn, and I wanted to leave the hospital. I said, the medical science helped me, and it finished with its action. There is nothing that medicine can do for me anymore. Now I'm just recovering, and the prayer will help me, and the church service will help me more than just empty stay in the hospital and waiting for my blood tests to get good. And I stayed one day in the convent of Gračanica, and then the very next day, fathers from the monastery came by car and they took me back to my home. I was so happy to see my monastery because I thought I'm not going to see it anymore in my life. I thought I'm dying there in this hospital. But God's providence for me was different. God's plan for me was different. And only many years after this, I realized what was His plan for me. And this plan was beautiful, but also this task was very hard for me. And I don't know if I ever fulfilled this task, because this task overcomes my possibilities. But with His help, with God's help, everything is possible, as He says in His Holy Gospel. So I was back home, and all my powers were recovering. And in about 15 days, I was, thank God, completely healthy and recovered. My strength came back to me, and I returned to all my duties, monastery duties. First of all, since it just started, it was my icon painting. In the meantime, my icon studio was prepared completely and I have received an order, my first order in the monastery of Visoki Dečani. It was an iconostas, icon screen, in a small cemetery chapel in the suburbs of town of Djakovica, which is on the halfway between town of Peć and Prizren. So it was my first job in my new home, monastery of Visoki Dečani, and I was so glad and happy to work on it. In those days, in those years, I was still the only icon painter in the monastery. And if I remember those icons from the distance of more than 20 years now, I'm aware that they were, let's say, naive, that you could see that it's a beginner's work. But still, I remember them fondly. And I remember when the war started in Kosovo, one of the first churches among those 150 or even more churches that they were destroyed and burned in Kosovo, one of the first of them was this church, this cemetery chapel. And it was destroyed and burned. But those icons miraculously stayed not completely intact, but not burned completely. Some of them, they were just damaged and burned partially. And we brought them back to the monastery. And I think they're still there, reminding us on human evil, on the universal evil that sways over the planet. And this craziness that happened in Kosovo, people killing each other, burning and destroying monasteries, churches, Muslim mosques, and all this madness that happened over there. So I remember fondly those burnt icons, dark and brown and smoke smelling, but the eyes of Christ and Mother of Lord and Saint John the Baptist and Archangel Michael. I remember those eyes who were saved from this flame, from this fire. I remember those eyes. Those eyes were divine eyes, eyes of the saints. But those eyes remind me on all those victims of this mad war, victims that I saw during those war years, eyes of children, eyes of men and women, eyes of elders, staying without their homes, chased away from their homelands. So those eyes of those icons, those burnt icons, but saved, and eyes of those refugees, those eyes were the same eyes, eyes full of pain and sadness and regret, for there is no love anymore in this world. So my life continued in the monastery, and every day and all the time I was undertaking bigger spiritual struggle and feats, ascetical feats, I was taking on myself, on my shoulders, fasting more, sleeping less, praying more, etc. The grace was there, prayer was there, night vigils were there, divine visitations, and all those things that they are constitutive part of a real monastic life. And I could say for myself simply, I was happy. I found my happiness. I found the true meaning of my life. And not only of my life, but the true meaning of a human life. To be with the giver of life. To be with the very life. And I remember an event exactly 2 months after my stay in the hospital. I was in my painting studio. And there was a brother who came there and told me that there is a abbot with 2 men down there on the terrace. And he's asking me to come there. So I left my paintbrushes, I covered my icon, washed my hands, and went down to see what the Father Abbot wants from me. So when I went there, there was a abbot and 2 men, and he told me, "Oh, Arsenia, please come, sit here, sit with us." So he introduced me to these 2 gentlemen, and he told me, "You see, Father Arsenia, these 2 gentlemen are from the Institute for the Hygiene and Infected Diseases from the city of Pech, and they want to talk something with you." I said, "Well, yes, what do you need? What? How can I help you?" And they told me, "You see, we are coming from the this institute, and when you were sick in the hospital of Pristina, we have sent your blood samples and samples of your urine to Belgrade, to their Institute for Infective Diseases, and then they acquired a certain serious look all of a sudden, and one of them," he told me, "and you see," with a very strange and serious tone of his voice and look of his face, he told me, "Well, you see, they have found a virus," and then he stayed silent for a while. So when he told me this, in this strange manner, all of a sudden, as a lightning came through my mind, a virus? So what is this? With this kind of attitude, they informed me, so this must be an AIDS. So I must be positive on HIV. So in this moment, my whole life get upside down. And I thought, "Oh my Lord, is it possible? I was infested by this terrible disease called AIDS." Because I came back to my life in New York, I remembered my life over there. Although I have never taken any narcotic by needle, neither I was in a sexual relationship with a man, of course. I was only living with women in a promiscuous way. But still, living in New York in this manner, being in many unclean places and having slept with girls that very often I didn't even know who they are and where they're from, I thought, yes, this is it. This is my conviction. This is my punishment. I deserved it. But in those few moments, I felt really terrible. I thought, "Oh my Lord, is this really had to happen to me?" But then, after these moments, short moments, as a matter of fact, but to me, they lasted for like forever. He this person, this doctor, or whatever he was, he continued and he said, well, you see, they have found a virus of mice fever. Oh my Lord. Only then I have realized that they are talking about this also very hard disease called mice fever. Their mice are giving away this fever, and there was an epidemic in Kosovo in these years of this terrible disease. Only then I have realized that they are not talking about AIDS. And in this moment, I was so angry with this person. I wanted to say to him, oh man, why don't you tell me this in the beginning? All this kind of strange performance, telling me this with such a serious look, and then just being silent for a while after saying that we have found a virus. Tell me it's a mice fever. But then, of course, I didn't say anything. I restrained myself of any kind of reaction because I was really astonished and stunned over there. But then I felt so easy, and I just relaxed after this extremely bad thought of mine that I might be infected by AIDS. And then they told me, and you are lucky because there were two forms of disease, mice fever. One is more lethal, and it affects the blood vessels, and all of a sudden they start to let blood go through them. So you just lose your blood in your own body, in your own organism, because you lose blood through your own blood vessels. And the death is there for more than 60%. And there were a lot of dead in the hospital when you were there. And then, only then I remembered all those cries in the hospital for their dead relatives. And then he continued that there is a second form of this disease, which affects kidneys. It is hard. People are also dying from this disease, from this form of mice fever, but not that much as this previous form. So that's why I had a strong pain in the region of kidneys and problems with my urine and urea in my blood. But thank God it doesn't leave any damage in the kidneys. So that's why we came to tell you this, that we finally discovered what was wrong with you, and that hopefully you will have now an immunity for this disease. And we just one more thing wanted to tell you, that what happened with you, and most likely you got this infection through breathing, because this virus is getting through air and through your breathing system, through your lungs, in your blood. And I can remember when we were cleaning and lifting up old linoleum in my future painting studio, there was a lot of mice excrements and a lot of dust. So I was breathing this dust, and I didn't know what I am taking in myself through this dust. And in this dust there was a lot of excrements from mice, and through this dust I have received a virus of this extremely hard and dangerous disease called mice fever. But thank God he let me go through this ordeal, but he saved me. And he used this terrible disease and this really hard ordeal to show me how great he is, how merciful he is, and how omnipotent he is. Glory be to you, O mighty Lord, my real supreme, the only one lover, my real lover, my brother, my father, my bride, my real friend. Thank you. Stay with me through all my life. So through my monastic life, I have realized that every now and then, every few years, let's say every 2 or 3 years, I'm going to have similar ordeals. And this is going to be a stigma of my life. This is going to be a way of my life. Every 2 or 3 years, I will find myself sick, ill, in some hospital. But this was good to me. Now I realize, and even now I have effects of all those sicknesses and surgeries that I underwent. But I thank God, because of my stubborn and stiff neck and my spoiled personality, if I was healthy all the time, I would become a demon by himself. But this way, I would always go through periods of humiliation, being humble, realizing how weak I am, how small I am, how nothing I am. Because, on the other hand, God gave me many gifts. And with these talents and gifts, and with good health, I think I would become really a terrible personality. And through this, I would lose all these gifts that they're not given to me, but they are given through me to other people. Like any other gift that we receive from the Lord, it is not our property. It's given to us to multiply it and then to share it with others. So that's why through these ordeals, through these sicknesses, illnesses, hard moments in my life, I'm becoming humble. Although I will never become humble enough to be always close to the Lord, because my conceit and my pride is always there, always lifting up its head. But Lord knows how to humble me and how to save me, and this way how to preserve my gifts that I have received from the Lord. So through these ordeals and hardships, I'm climbing up by the ladder of spiritual ascent towards the kingdom of heaven. Lord God, help me to continue this ascent, this climbing up by the ladder of divine ascent, and never to stop, because Holy Father say this ascent never stops, even in this future life. And slowly, as the years go by, and as I am becoming more experienced in spiritual life, I'm starting to understand when the Holy Father say that after a certain period of spiritual struggle, after many years, many decades of spiritual life, when they would enter a sickness or any kind of ordeal, they would rejoice. And I was always thinking, is this some kind of symbolical or some kind of just pretending? But no, it was for real. Because only after many years of falls and getting ups, you understand that only through these ordeals you're acquiring holiness. So that's why Holy Fathers would rejoice when they would face some kind of hard temptation, sickness or ordeal. So I am following their steps. I myself, the smallest of all of them. And I am learning a life lesson to rejoice when I get in some hard situation in my life. God help me to stay this way. Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amphilochia. Found the true meaning of my life, and not only of my life, but the true meaning of a human life, to be with the giver of life.